You're listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod with Kyle Rush and Ben Taylor.
What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 287 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod, and it's Kyle and Ben, and we're ready to talk some LIV golf, some PIF, some U.S. Open.
Did you just lead with LIV golf on a U.S. Open
PGA Tour? The PGA Tour. It has nothing. That's the headlines. That's the headlines. That's what we got to talk about. Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit of everything. Conspiracy theories, dudes getting tackled, Canadians winning tournaments. It's going to be great. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. Today is Wednesday. You got time to go lock in your picks for the U.S. Open. I saw Brooks Koepka was like over close to like plus 1,000.
Yeah.
Just coming off a major and a second place win. Hey, go pick you four or five winners and roll with it. You can do matchups day by day. You can do to make the cut, to miss the cut. You can do all kind of stuff on Bet Online. Sign up today. Use your coupon code BLEAV, BLEAV, get a 50% welcome bonus. Give them $100. They're going to give you 50 back free to play with. It's tons of fun. Bet responsibly, but have a blast. Reload it if you got it, and have some fun. So Bet Online.
Throw a 20 on Max Homa. Max Homa has the course record at this. He shot a 61 in high school on this course.
Okay.
So last throw a 20. Time he played it. That probably is. I was going to say he's not a member there. So everybody's like, oh, it's a home course. Like, he hadn't played it in like 15 years. So I don't know that that's the truth.
And we're going to talk a little bit about LA Country Club here in just a minute. But Bet Online is where the game starts. Okay, to start this thing off, I led off with PIF because, Ben, I've slept on this for a week. I've listened to the comments coming out, and I got a very, very bad feeling that Brandel Chamblee is going to end up being right on this whole thing, believe it. I'm blocked by him on Twitter. Okay. So I'm not sucking up. I don't like him, but
you are sucking up. You're trying to get him to follow you back. It's all you're trying
to
do. I think
the more that I listen to this way this thing plays out, and what he always says, this is terrible for golf, terrible for the PGA Tour. And if you take, and let me tell you why I think he's right, and then I'm gonna let you comment, okay? Because I got an initial take, and then I'm gonna let you respond, and then I got the ultimate take of what I really, really think is gonna end up happening. That's gonna make everybody look stupid. But
enlighten me.
Here's what we okay. If the rumors are true, there's a lot of people talking about Jay Monahan's gonna be the cabal note for over golf. As a little Saudi that joke for that whole thing. He's going to be the cabal of golf underneath the PIF. The LIV's going to go away. The guys are going to come back to the PGA Tour. What did we just gain over what we had 2 years ago? We are getting sold that this is great for golf, that the PGA Tour now is exactly like it was 2 years ago, and now it's run by the Saudi government. The Saudi government runs the PGA Tour that we had in its current form, which if LIV goes away, that's what it'll be again.
Hold on. Hold on, Brandel.
Go ahead.
Saudi investment firm, not Saudi government. Saudi investment firm.
The Saudi government's investment firm. How about that? That we just get back what we already had. And now – There's not necessarily any motivation for them to change anything. Like, what are they? Why would they want to wear shorts? Why would they want to do teams? Like, there's no competition anymore. If you take LIV away, I don't really see. All I see is like you just got bamboozled, so the Saudi government can now run golf, in the whole world, not just all of the golf. They're going to run all of it,
right?
All professional golf. I fail to see what we as fans gained except for Brooks Koepka back in the Travelers Championship, which he made a funny comment today in his press conference was, hey, see y'all, which he's trolling, but see y'all at Travelers next week, that kind of thing. So, I mean, Ben, what am I missing here? What am I missing?
Okay, you say what do we gain? What do we miss? That I guess that's my question, because the thing is I still think they can do that stuff. Here's my theory on it. I think that at least for the first couple of years, it still remains under that umbrella. I don't think LIV goes away. And if LIV does go away, I don't think 2 or 3 years down the road, anybody's going to know what PIF is and that the Saudis are even involved. Do you know how many companies they're involved in the United States right now that nobody knows about? Like, their money backs those companies and nobody knows it because they stay behind the scenes and just that's how they keep adding to their $750 billion that they have in their trust fund, is because they're able to invest in these companies and reap the rewards off of it. I think they're using it as a cash cow. And I think the players benefit from it, because I also think that the players now will be making more money under this new, I hate to say regime, because I really shouldn't say it that way, but that's what it is. But as far as a fan standpoint,
nothing. You got nothing. We don't
know that we're gaining anything, but we don't know that we're losing anything, because we don't know what that guy,
no, we know for a fact, governor
wants to do.
We know for a fact if LIV goes away, we're not gaining a damn thing. We don't gain anything. We don't lose anything, but you don't gain anything. Like the whole, we just lost a year and a half of dudes playing over here.
Yeah.
Could barely see. So you lost that to just get them back in the exact same form you could have had if none of this would have ever happened. None of this.
But who did we lose? We lost DJ and Cam Smith and Bruce and Brooks Koepka. That's it, right? That's really all we lost. I mean, let's be honest.
I mean,
that's really all we lost.
You lost, I mean, Harold Varner, and you lost.
Yeah, he's not even in the open this week. I mean, did we really lose him?
But that's not his fault. That's not his fault. He should be. He should be. That's another thing. A lot of these guys would be in the open.
Yeah, they would have had the points to be in the open. Yes, I do agree with that.
I don't know, man. Let me just ask you this.
Okay.
Was golf in a good place from a talent standpoint? From a sure, some of the events may be getting stale, but was golf in a pretty good place before all this happened?
Yes and no, because you and I are institutionalized where we love it. You're talking to two guys that love it.
Okay,
if you're just a random, let's just call you a random consultant that's just looking at it from the outside in and weighing all the options and doing the pros and cons of it. You kind of wonder what a somebody that's not really familiar with it, what they think of it, what's going down. Because it sounds like the PGA Tour got called to the carpet, Kyle, and now they're paying for it. Because those guys, the DJs of the world, the Brookses of the world, the Pat Perez and Phil Mickelson flat out basically ruined the PGA. Like, called them to the carpet and – you know, explain. Pat had that idea that he said on a podcast, you know, years ago, where he talked about, you know, paying caddies more and paying players even if they don't make the cut and having a fund on the side for it. PGA Tour laughed at him. Phil talked about upping the prize money because they had all this money in a trust set aside somewhere and they weren't sharing it with any of the top players in the world. And it took them leaving for that to happen. So I think that golf got better because of LIV. So if LIV goes away now, I still think we're in a plus.
You keep saying we. You keep saying we.
We as fans. I think we're still in.
We had it. We had all that. We had all that before. If LIV, the only way to me, this is the only way that this thing to me, it makes sense and is awesome for us, is if LIV stays and they continue to build this PGA Tour versus LIV rivalry. That's the only way I feel like we benefit. Otherwise, we just got bamboozled so they could go make more money. And we got a year and a half of like bickering and like people getting their feelings hurt and Rory wilting under pressure all the time. And then only to come back to what we had prior. Like if LIV goes away, then Brandel, I will give him 100% credit. He nailed it. All you did was you just gave them the keys to the kingdom and you just got back. They basically just said, oh yeah, we might let you wear shorts and we'll have some teams or something. Like that's it. But this is my ultimate. This is what I think is actually happening. Okay.
Okay. All right.
This is what I actually think is happening. I don't think, and I'm anxious to see, and this could be, this is what I hope is happening, because this could be the best case scenario. I still think it's terrible for the PGA Tour. Like, the PGA Tour loses in this 100% regardless. Like, the PGA Tour completely loses.
There's yeah, because no they look stupid.
You know, there's no way you don't look stupid. Yeah. But this is what I think is happening. That I think the Saudi government, the PIF, whatever, has had no intentions of buying the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. Like, they knew that the DOJ would probably shut that down. They knew that it probably would not be allowed to go through. But what they did was they got everybody now saying that their money is fine, their money is good. They've lost that card that they can play. And they do have, like, they do know now, they know that the PGA Tour can't afford to go any further on lawsuits and things of that nature. They can't go any further on these, like, antitrust cases of collusion. So now they can turn around and go buy that. Everything's going to fall through. Then they can turn around and go buy a John Rahm, probably for discount. They can go buy someone else, because the PGA Tour's spot's so weakened now, mm-hmm. And they know that they know where the money is.
They know that courses will let them play there now, because they've been told now that the money's fine.
The money's fine. Yeah, you got no excuse. You can't. I thought we were good. I just think, and if that's the case, then it does strengthen the, because you're going to have guys that are going to stay on the PGA Tour regardless. And maybe you can start doing some crossover stuff. Like, what would be just spectacular is if you had LIV that was like the AFC and PGA Tour was like the NFC, and you had 20 teams on both sides, 15 teams on both sides, yeah. Of dudes, and they had their season. You had some interleague play where you cross over in some tournaments. And then the winning teams from both sides playing like the Super Bowl, which would be the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup every year. That to me would make golf ultimate. Like, yeah. That would be the ultimate move for golf, and hopefully that's what's going to happen. But I think
you're on to something, because I said that on a radio hit earlier today. Shout out Max Roundtable. Doug, thanks for subscribing. Thanks for all the Montgomery listeners that have picked us up now as well, that have jumped on board. But we were talking about that particular thing my point to him was, here's what I found odd about the entire situation last week that took place. Everything that came out negative, like from players, came from PGA Tour players. Colin Morikawa. Sucks that I have to find out on the practice range on Twitter that I don't have a job anymore.
Chesson Hadley, or whatever the heck his name is.
Yeah, Chesson Hadley, who does the finger snap. That's the only reason I know him. After he makes a birdie, he does that right, whatever the hell that is. He's a weird dude, but he really thinks he got gypped by this whole thing, even though I've seen him, in three tournaments? But Max Homa making comments. You know, other guys making comments. Did you notice? Not one LIV player had anything that it was almost like they were all in the know. They knew this was happening.
Yeah, they were trolling.
Like I think that governor, whatever the hell his name is, I think he has done a good job. That's what's funny is everybody, and I've told you this before too. Everybody keeps going, what's this guy going to do? I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't trust anything that Jay Monahan said when Jay Monahan said, oh, he's giving me full control. Really? Because he spends 4 to 5 days with Greg Norman every week. Not with you, Jay. He's spending it with LIV. Like, he's been at every LIV event. He's been hanging out with Donald Trump at Trump National. And none of the LIV players have anything bad to say about the guy. Yeah. And so anytime everybody says, well, Jay says this and Jay says, I've gotten the point, I don't care what Jay says. Because nothing he has said has come to fruition.
Yeah, he has not looked well in this whole
thing.
And
so, I guess, I think that they, when you talk about the future, but I do think you're on something about the, you know, DOJ not letting this go through. What a great marketing ploy this has been for LIV. Because they've done everything right. They've opened themselves up to all the courses. They've opened it up to the LIV players. TV broadcast, players being able to qualify for tournaments or get sponsor exemptions to play in regular PGA events to cross over because, hey, they're good dudes. They're fine. Their money's fine. They're good dudes. They run a great business. It's a great business model. We had no other choice but to join up because they're so great in what they do. And so I think you got a point, but I do think if it does stay together, I don't see Liv going anywhere for a couple of years. I think it all stays under that umbrella. And they still let the guy – because just some of the comments that have been brought up at the U.S. Open, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler, it sounds like somebody's in their ear saying Liv's not going anywhere because they are leaving some open-ended comments out there that make you wonder,
We're going to get to that. We're going to get to John Rahm's comment, but I just want to make one more thing, one more point. You have Jay Monahan flip-flop about the money, where it comes from. You've had Rory McIlroy. You've had a ton of people that, hey, Rory was mad that those dudes took the money, but he felt like he should be rewarded, for being loyal. A lot of them, so that they're flip-flopping. Brandel has remained consistent. He has remained consistent the whole time, I'm telling you.
But he can't. He can't go back on it now.
Why? Everybody else did.
Yeah, but he's been the biggest critic. He's been a bigger critic than Rory. He's been a bigger critic than Jay Monahan.
Has he invoked the 9/11 victims? Has he invoked that like Jay Monahan did?
He did. He's brought that in.
Okay, well, regardless, Jay Monahan invoked 9/11 victims and flipped. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's bad. That's really, really bad. I'm telling you, he's going to – I have this feeling that we're just going to get shoved the PGA. I have this bad feeling. We're just going to get shoved the PGA Tour back again. And I hope this isn't the case, but if everything does go through and my conspiracy theory doesn't work out, I feel like we're going to get shoved the PGA Tour back in our face that we had the same PGA Tour from two, three years ago. And it's just going to be controlled by the Saudi Arabian government, basically. So that's just, and then the rumors are you're going to start losing tournaments to over there. I heard a rumor that if that's the case, you're going to see the Players Championship leave Atlanta, Eastlake. So that's possibly something that could happen. You're going to lose four or five tournaments a year that's going to be played over there, which global golf is fine. I get it, but just remember this. I'm telling you, if it goes through and we lose the Live part of it and it's just the PGA Tour, Brandel was right. We got screwed and nothing changed. Literally nothing changed and we're getting sold. This is great for golf and literally we just got golf back the way it was 2 years ago. That's all I'm saying.
And that's all well said. I'm not going to give Brandel Shibley credit. I don't care if it happens.
Let me tell you what I am going to give credit, though, and that's bad birdie golf. Yes. Guys, we preached about it. We continue to. You got to check out their website. They drop seemingly new polos every week, three to four a week, it almost seems like. And then they got awesome hats, tons of other stuff. When it gets cooler, they're going to have new pullovers, and their pullovers are awesome, quarter zip pullovers. Use coupon code DAD15, take 15% off every single order that you ever make with them. You guys have been lighting up the orders. We appreciate that. Keep it going. Moving on, we talked about people making comments and stuff. To me, John Rahm had we did this before that we thought John Rahm was leaving. We thought John Rahm was going Live, and he didn't. But I believe, is the next tournament not in Spain? The next Live tournament not in Spain?
I don't know.
Look that up.
Yeah, you do the quotes.
While I read this quote, okay? This is John Rahm. I mean, and you guys tell me what you think this means, okay? No matter what happens, thanks to the PGA Tour, they gave me an opportunity to play golf. It sounds like a valedictorian speech. I'm in a very high state of privilege in this world. I can only be thankful. If things change, I'll have to adapt and make some decisions. Holy, what could that possibly mean other than I may be out of here?
He said that he was privileged about four or five times.
Yeah.
And so, no, the next couple of tournaments are in Saudi Arabia.
I thought there was one that was in Valderrama or something like that, possibly coming up. Is there one in Spain coming up? I thought someone said that that was possibly. I could have just misinterpreted it. There may not have one at all in Spain. I don't know. Yeah, Valderrama, Real Club Valderrama, next tournament.
Ah, there it is.
It's freaking in Spain, Ben. It's the very first list. So, all right. So, the very next LIV golf tournament is in Spain. Okay. He's played his two practice rounds in a row with Sergio and Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Fact. He played two practice rounds at LA Country Club.
Oh, I know.
Phil and Sergio. He says basically, hey, it's been a great run. Thanks, PGA Tour, for giving me my shot. Whatever happens after this happens. I mean, what else could that mean, Ben? What could that mean? Steve Elkington in that same thread says, I can't think of a more crushing statement to the PGA Tour than this at Rahm's presser. Basically said, I don't trust them anymore, and thanks for giving me the start in my career. And like,
yeah, he refused to address anything as far as politics, or he didn't give a yay. Or that's the thing, is he didn't deny when people kept asking him. I think that's the key thing, you know. And we'll go back to Rahm, but Ricky did the same thing. Is basically it says he did not exactly give a pledge of allegiance to the PGA Tour. To be straightforward with you guys, I haven't necessarily made a decision one way or another. The tour is the best place to play, but cause the proposals from LIV. Very interesting. So,
wow.
That may be another one that's gone where he's caught. Basically, now that this, I think he feels burned. He got asked to stay. He stayed. He's not doing great. And he's like, and I've gotten nothing to show for it. And so he may jump too. And it's set up for Rahm. Rahm's comments just to me were just so interesting, because it's like you just said, it sounded like a valedictorian or a farewell speech, or a guy giving a speech to his last day at the office because he's taking another job somewhere. And he's, you know, this has been a great opportunity for me and my family. I've made a lot of money. I've made generational money. My grandkids will be taken care of. He said that today. And he's like, so I got some things to think about. And I was like, what? Like, well, if everything's so great. Yeah,
if you're staying on the PGA Tour, what is there to think about?
Exactly. When he said that, I was like, wait a second. Like, clearly he didn't deny it in any. And I watched his press. I watched it live on television, or not live, but on Golf Channel, and then ran through it on my computer on YouTube to see if, like, I misunderstood something or I was halfway paying attention to it, and just basically fast forwarded through his answers. And I just found it super interesting, the way he handled it.
Ricky's comments may be more interesting than anything. I want to sidebar on Ricky for a second.
Okay.
If Ricky, obviously he wouldn't be top 50 in the world because he would have lost points for in the official world golf rankings. But if Ricky takes the money, is he playing at a top 50 level right now? If he goes to LIV, is he at a top 50 level? I say no, because
based on this year, he's at a top 50 level.
Right. I'm saying if he would have been on LIV.
Oh, you're saying if he would have gone LIV before? No. No.
I don't think so either. I don't either. I think the PGA Tour is still heads and shoulders. The fields are way deeper. Granted, he's playing in some events that have lost some firepower. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. By and large, though, the fields that he's playing in, 6 top 10s, several top 25s, a second-place finish, very impressive. And sometimes those ancillary PGA Tour events are harder to win sometimes than, you know, the bigger ones, because
right,
everybody's good and everybody's firing at sticks. Mm-hmm. And you're 20 under, and if you shoot 2 under, you've lost 6 shots to the field. I don't know. I wonder if the drive would have been there to change your swing, to get it all figured out and
change equipment. I mean, he went to cavity backs. He went from those butter blades that he had to, I mean, cavity backs, and doing something a little more forgiving.
Does it put you in a spot to where you're playing at a play level? I don't know.
If he accepts that invite to LIV and goes LIV, he's talked about how well Tiger has treated him since they're neighbors, and he's worked with him on his game, and he's taught him a few things. Like, would that have happened as anti-LIV as Tiger was? Would he have helped him and provided some instruction for him during this time? Would he have done that if he'd have been on the LIV tour? I don't know that he would have.
I don't either. It doesn't mean that there's a bunch of bunch of crappers over on the LIV tour. There's some good players over there, but their fields just aren't as deep.
They're not as deep, and they're not getting personal instruction from the greatest player in the world either. So
sure, greatest player, maybe the greatest player ever.
Yeah.
So John Rahm, I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, that I'm anxious to see that next LIV event being in Spain. And after these comments, is there something to that?
I said that today to Doug on the air too. I said if you will keep in mind, John Rahm has been one of the few players that has said nothing negative about LIV the entire time that it's come about. He's never spoken ill towards him, even at the beginning when everybody was anti-LIV, people going for the money. They asked Rahm about it, and he goes, I don't know enough about it to comment on it right now. I'm just happy where I am. And he would say stuff like that. He would not pull a Rory and a JT and bash LIV. He just would kind of stay neutral. And now it sounds like he's getting more positive, not towards LIV, but definitely positive towards some things changing. And that'd be interesting to see, especially as you just said, that tournament, it's going to be, next up's going to be right there in Spain. Oh boy. What a huge thing that would be.
Be a blow. That'd be a blow for sure. We'll talk a little bit U.S. Open, little L.A. Country Club when we come back after this. All right, we're back. And the U.S. Open this week is at probably when you take Augusta, if you take Augusta out of the equation, probably an Augusta level of privateness. I don't know the exclusivity. I think that's probably the better term. LA Country Club is, like, from what I understand, like, a lot of these dudes that are professional golfers, this will be the first time they've ever played the course. Like, it's that exclusive. And I've looked at some of the flyovers. It's a par 70, but it's a unique par 70. There's five, I think Ben said there's five par threes. Yep. Like, three of them are touching 300 yards. Like, it's pretty daggum wild. A pretty wild course, and it's just newly been redone. And I don't think it's going to be one of those traditional U.S. Opens where it's like just tight fairways and mega, mega thick rough. I think it's going to feel a lot like the PGA Championship at Tulsa. You're going to have a lot of like domed fairways that mm-hmm. run off, and the fairways are going to run just as fast as the greens. Greens are going to be running 12, 13. Fast and firm golf course. It's going to be visually stunning because you're going to be playing. You're like in this oasis, and then you got the LA skyline.
Yep.
Like, that just randomly it will show up. It's just, you don't even know this place is there. It's going to be really cool. I really don't know how to favor someone in this. I really don't know because I don't know anything about the course. I don't really know. And I don't know other than Max Homa who really has a history there.
No, and I think Colin May, because he's a Southern California kid that maybe played there in some junior golf events and probably some collegiate golf events whenever he was going to UCLA. So I think Morikawa may have a little bit of an advantage. John Rahm even said, when he played in Arizona State and played in the Pac-12, people were like, how many times you played? He's like, we didn't play this place in college. So he didn't play it. So, looking at the course, and it's definitely the bombers are going to get the advantage. Rahm said it best. You can jump out and grab three birdies to begin your round. You start out with a par five and a fairly easy par three, and then another, and then a fairly easy par four. And then after that, you could go
buckle up.
You could bogey four through nine. And so, and then you go back to where you can jump in it again. And then you can close out with a couple of birdies too, is what he was saying. So, a lot of sand. It's funny because it's almost like the way I compared it, looking at the flyovers and looking at it now, this is doing it so much injustice by saying this, but it reminded me of Auburn Links when it was a thing. And the reason being is because it was a link style golf course, but it's got a ton of trees, and that's just not what you see. They call it a link style golf course, but when you look at the flyover, there's a ton of trees. So, yeah. I guess it's just the layout and the undulations and all that. Maybe that's why they call it a link style course. I don't know. But when I looked at the pictures, I was like, why are they calling it a link style course? Because it literally looks like it's surrounded by a forest that's, like you just said, it's only when they're on tee boxes that they can see like the LA skyline and all that kind of stuff. So The par threes are interesting. Three of them, shortest one being around 260. Longest can play up to 295, something like that. Guys today, they were showing them hitting cut three woods in there on the one that was 295. If the pin's going to be back right, there's another par three there on there though that measures 121 to center, measures 70 to front, measures 150 to back. It's got a super long green, and they said they will have the pin in the front one of those days. So you're going to have in a U.S. Open, you're going to have a 75 yard par three.
Oh, wow.
And the guys were saying that they're absolutely super nervous about it because depending on how the greens hold and depending on how much spin, you don't want to, it's covered by that, the front of it is covered by that long fescue. So if you come up short, you may end up taking a five there because you just got to try to chop it out. You may even have to take an unplayable. So be interesting.
Oh, wow, it is. It's on the back nine, 15.
Yeah.
It's playing, it's, from the black, it's got one, it says 133, but they got a tee box where it's like under 100 yards. So
that, well, and that 133 is the center. It's a long green if you look at the green. So, I mean, yeah, it can play anywhere from 70 yards all the way to like 155 or 160 yards. So, be interested to see how the pin placement for the U.S. Open, what the guys do as far as they've been told it will play at the front at one point. So they're probably gonna have a 70 to 90 yard shot depending on which tee box they use. And you and I have talked about that before. You know, this was, wasn't it the Open last year? You know, they had a 100 yard par three.
It was like 125 or something like that.
Yeah. And they couldn't, none of, there were so many of them missing the green when it was on that front left. They were either sucking it off or they were sculling it back to the back of the green. Yes. You like that, did you? And so it'll be interesting to see how they set the course up. Also, what holes they take advantage of. As Rahm said, it's great if you start out birdie, 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 or at least two birdies out of the first three, but you could put some high numbers up there to finish out the front nine. Just because, I mean, Kyle, and I told you, we said this before, we said it, you know, earlier at the other tournament that was in Riviera that was in L.A., tired of the 290-yard par threes where they got to hit five woods in and they don't stay on the green. Now, the players are saying that these greens are holding right now, but they may not by the time Saturday and Sunday roll around. But, I mean, how intimidating is that if you step up on the tee box? And, I mean, just think, the one that's playing 290, even if you and I played it and we played it from the up tees, it's probably 250, 260.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's tough.
It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, this tournament could be won or lost on the par threes and par fives.
One of the par fives
is actually the second hardest hole on the course.
Some of the picks kind of give me a Pinehurst vibe a little bit.
Yeah.
The way the wasteland and stuff like that. I mean,
yep,
it's kind of neat. A Pinehurst feel in the middle of Los Angeles. But
instead of the white sand, it's got like that dark brown sand. It really, you're probably right. That Pinehurst is probably the best way to describe it if you've ever been there. And the thing is, you talked about the rough and the fairway. Some of these fairways are pretty wide. So, I mean, if they can just poke a three wood out there and get it in the fairway and get playable, hopefully they can take advantage. I have no guess as to what scores will be because they've not played it in this condition. I know that, you know, I mentioned earlier Max Homa, you know, shot a 61 and holds the course record. He didn't play it from the tips, and he did not play it from with the rough growing up as high as it is around the greens and around the bunkers. And he even said the last time he played it, there were less bunkers than there are now. So I don't know that you're going to see any 61s, but I do wonder if somebody's able to take advantage on day one or two and go low. And once they go low, it'd be hard to catch them just because I think the conditions are going to get worse as the tournament moves on.
Visually should be an awesome course to watch golf on.
Yeah.
From what I can tell, looks fantastic. So fired up about that.
A lot of stars in the crowd. They're limited on tickets that they've sold. So it's going to be the wealthy of wealthiest that are out there watching.
The who's who out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure LeBron will be out there. It'll be all kind of folks out there. So before we wrap it up, we're gonna talk a little Canadian Open, believe it or not, before we close. But before we do that, I want to give a shout out to Primo Golf Apparel. They are doing a Father's Day sale right now. I'm gonna tell you all a secret, okay? It's auto 20% off on selected items. You can use our coupon code on top of that. So
yes,
you get the 20% off. You then you use coupon code DADPOD15, take another 15% off. I already got two pairs of shorts. I officially have every pair of shorts except the olive. And I'm a little bit, I'm not sure I'm there yet on the olive. I'm not sure I got much that goes with that. I got to get some more solids to go.
I got the tan, solid, white, and gray, but I've got every color except the maroon of the joggers.
Well, I got most of the joggers too. And I'm probably going to get the wine color joggers, especially when it gets a little bit cooler. I'm definitely going to get that with a white pullover, white hoodie, or a gray hoodie. That'll look slick. But anyway, check them out today or throughout the weekend. Save big. That's 20% and then another 15% off the top of that. DADPOD 15. I got the white shorts and the tan shorts that came in. My wife was like, white shorts, you? Seriously, that's a risk. That's a risk because I will get pants dirty in a heartbeat. So
they do come clean. I got mine dirty last time. They'll do fine. You'll be fine.
They're great. They feel great. The best shorts I've ever owned.
Yes.
The best shorts. They're untouchable. So sign up today, save big. Not sign up today. Check them out today, save big. Check them out throughout the weekend. Primo Golf Apparel.
No, you can sign up so you get the daily emails and stuff. You sure, always sign up. That's okay.
Newsletter. Yeah. There you go. So I wasn't wrong. All right. So Canadian Open.
Yes.
This weekend. I've already forgot the guy's name. Nicholas something.
Right? Taylor. Nick Taylor.
Nick Taylor, Ben's cousin. Nick. Ben's from Ben's relatives are from Canada.
Okay. Yes.
Did not know that.
Yes.
Taylor's a big Canadian name.
Anyway, I didn't either. I didn't know either.
Nicholas Taylor, Canadian, hits a 70-foot bomb for Eagle on the third playoff hole against Tommy Layup. With the game on the line, Fleetwood on 18 and a poor layup at that, hits a 70 foot bomb and becomes the first Canadian golfer in 69, I think it's 69 years, right?
Something like that, yeah.
69 years that has won the Canadian Open, which I'm going to be honest, it kind of blew me away. I was shocked that it had been that long.
Why would it blow you away?
I mean, I feel like there's a bunch of good Canadian golfers, right? I mean,
you could name me five.
All right, you got Mike Weir.
Yep, that's a good one. You got Nick Taylor. You got Nick Taylor, just won.
Well, yeah, I just learned about him. I mean, who else? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not that shot. Okay, Corey Connors. There we go. Is Corey Connors one?
I don't know that he's Canadian. I think he's Canadian. Huh? Adam Hadwin's Canadian.
I found that out this weekend. Ben, maybe I get it now. Why it's been so long. I really couldn't go past Mike Weir. I mean, you got a Masters champion, and that's it. And
I was hoping you'd say somebody too stupid like Luke Donald and be like, he's not Canadian.
Yeah, I just that's what I should have just done. Just started naming a whole bunch.
Just naming random Europeans and been like, no, Kyle, that's not.
not one person you just named is Canadian. No. Okay, that's kind of revolution. That's kind of like it's an epiphany. I get it now. I totally get it. That's why we dom people. Everybody else in the whole world doms that tournament except for the Canadians. it was cool.
Rough weather to train in Canada, though. I got to be
sure,
honest.
Sure. Would you get 3 weeks to play golf? Is that?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah,
something like that. And then like half of Canada was on fire too. So like you can't, you know, you had to get out. There was people evacuating. You couldn't be. I couldn't get serious for this tournament. But anyway, it was fun. It was fun to watch. It's a cool course. Playoff golf is fun, even if you don't know one of the guys.
Let me cut you off. You don't know the difference between a Canadian tournament and a United States tournament?
What's that?
They called it the penalty box on the par three. Did you see that where they were real close to the players?
Yes.
Okay. They were comparing it to 16 out at TPC out at Scottsdale. And I was like, bro, there may be 1,000 people at the penalty box. There's 16,000 at TPC Scottsdale. Stop comparing the two.
Now, I will say it was kind of cool how they did. They set the tee box up like a hockey rink, and they were hitting the boards. That was kind of cool.
I did like that. Cool.
But I mean, Tommy, this is my thing about Tommy Fleetwood. You've never won on the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
You had no better shot than you did. You had a par five, which was, it's a short par five, but it's play, it's set up to where you have to hit, you have to lay back on the tee shot. So you have to hit a longer club in. So he's going to be in the fairway, and he was. You hit an iron, a three, four iron out there, 220, and it's up, and you're hitting downhill. So mm-hmm. you can hit it, you know, you can hit it out there, and then you just hit a regular old three wood up there to the left side of the green. You chip up, and you.
That's what got me, the left side. Everybody kept going at the pin on the right. I was like, what are you doing? It's wide open on the left.
Yeah, and Nick ended up doing that in one of the playoffs and couldn't get up and down.
Yes, I know.
On the second playoff one, couldn't get up and down. But no, he lays up, but he lays up terribly. He lays up, he like blocks it way out right, and it's has got ball way below his feet and heavy rough. I mean, I was just like, man, just if there was no way you could, there's no way that Tommy Fleetwood was ever going to make a bogey on that hole. Like, no matter how many times he played it, he could not make a bogey on that hole. Why would you not hit something up there as close to the green as you possibly can? He hit one in the bleachers. Like, he hit one in the bleachers on the playoff hole and still made par. Like, just go for it. Just go for it, man. You might get up there. That decision was, I mean, he was in the fairway, was he not, off the tee?
He was just in the rough, but it was a very favorable lie.
So it was,
and that's what the announcers said. I'm a little confused as to why he's laying up, because the ball is sitting up for him. He drew the best lie possible for being in the rough, because the rough was kind of high. But he got not that first cut of rough, but that second cut. He was right there on the edge, and it was teed up for him. He should have hit a three. Kyle, he hits a three wood left. Even if he doesn't get there, he's got such an easy pitch and run to the pin from that left side. Yeah, I mean, like it.
Putts go in from 70 feet from that side.
They do. There's no doubt whatsoever. So, it was, I mean, between him and, you know, Rory coming into the day was doing well and shot even par on the final day. I mean, he.
A blistering 72. Yeah, or whatever.
Blistering 72. He clearly needed to go live, because it turns out the last few tournaments, he's only been able to play 54 holes, and then the last 18 he hadn't been able to do anything with. So,
burn. I tell you what, Tommy Fleetwood may have screwed around and missed his invite to go to live. He may have that may have cost him his invite to go to the LIV tour. I mean, you got guys like John.
You know
Rahm
why?
Because
that's right. Because you know what? The Saudi fun. They don't want like guys that lay it up. You know what I mean? They want guys going for it.
If you lay up, you get your head cut off. How about that?
Don't do that.
Yeah, I won't go there. I'll stop. The highlight of the Canadian Open, really, other than the 70-foot bomb, was there's a celebration. And Adam Hadwin, who I just found out was Canadian, comes running out, and he's Nick Taylor's best friend, comes running onto the green with a bottle of champagne, spraying it, and Bill Goldberg comes out of the stands and spears him on the green. Security takes him down.
Yes.
And there's, like, so many angles of this, and every one of them is better than the other. Like, they continually got better. It was over pretty quick. Like, the Nick Taylor's caddy, like ran and like pulled him off, and then everybody hugged, and it was good because they're Canadian, they're super nice. So they're sorry.
They're Canadians. They're all sorry.
Apologize.
So sorry. No,
it was hilarious. That's such a funny thing. It's like a double edged sword. Number one, you get tackled. That sucks. Yeah. Like, and getting tackled in general can't be fun. And you got tackled because nobody recognized you.
Now, here's the thing. What's going through the security guards' mind? Like, how many damn random Canadians have a giant bottle of champagne that they're spraying on a winner? Like, did they issue those up in the stands? Like, why did he think that this was a random fan that was running down? Because it was one of the oversized bottles. It wasn't the regular one. It was like one of the oversized bottles that he took. And, I mean, you know, like the celebratory bottles. And I mean, like, he came out of nowhere and laid out.
Don't people have like lanyards and name tags and signs and all kinds of stuff? Like,
I kept I've watched like 15 videos.
He didn't have anything of that. He didn't have
anything. He had it on his belt loop instead of wearing it around his neck like everybody else. Note to self, wear it around your neck for a reason. That's where security's looking.
Or you will get form tackled.
Or you will get snot bubbled right there on the green, and you will like it.
You know the greenskeeper was pissed too.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Now I got all these people standing on my green, and now I got dudes doing Oklahoma drill over there in the back left tier. No, it was
got a guy trying to make the roster on Sunday.
Seriously, you know he was like, "This is my moment." He came around the corner. You see it in like slow motion, like
yes.
Nick Taylor and his caddy are hugging, and then like from the corner you see. You see the security guard creeping or not, and he's like, "Hey," and he's digging, and then boom, he tackles him. It was
listen.
Great.
If I'm motion. Somebody like a Rom or a Tiger, if I got a ton of money, that's the first guy I call to put on my security team next. If any of my security guys leave, I'm getting that guy. That guy, he wasted no time breaking down, as you said, Oklahoma drilling Adam Hadwin. So hopefully the guy gets a job out of it. Hopefully they don't let him go. Hadwin seemed to have a good spirit about it. His wife probably was better about it than him. His wife made fun of him.
She made fun of him.
His team, his buddies were all making fun of him. So he finally chimed in like 24 hours later.
Who you were?
Yeah,
that's so funny.
I mean, the fact that his buddies were able to be like, "Dude, you got to step up your game. Nobody knows who you are." And I get it. He was in like a hoodie and jeans. He was not dressed like a golfer like the rest of them. Did he not make the cut, or did he just finish so early he just changed clothes and came? All the rest of them that are out there were still in their gear. Yeah. That's the thing, is he was in a hoodie and jeans. So I'm sure the security guard thought, look at this dummy.
He's wearing jeans. There's no way he can be a professional golfer.
Yeah.
He's going down.
Right.
That's the first thing I do. I look at pants, and I can diagnose the situation pretty quick. I know you got a possible terrorist situation on your hands. Jeans are one of the first things I think of, okay?
Jeans and Carhartts. That's just the two things. something with a lot of pockets on it.
Exactly. If it's got more than two in the front, yeah, you got things. You got
sketchy
things,
customer. Yeah,
you got to keep your eyes on them. You know what I mean? No, it was a pretty fun tournament to watch. There was some good names in it. Good golf being played. At one point in time, there was like late on Sunday, a seven-way tie.
Yeah.
First, everybody at like 13 under. So still a lot of golf to be played, but it was fun. It was fun. So hopefully they can bottle that up and, you know, have a good Travelers Championship and everything else after that. So, but I mean, there's got US Open. We'll see what happens after that with Liv. And I think there's possibly going to be some fireworks, and we're going to be ready to talk about it. So y'all, appreciate you guys listening. Y'all enjoy the U.S. Open, and we will talk back at you next week. Have a great weekend. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. It's episode 287 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod, and we're always.
You've been listening to the Dad Bod Golf Pod, always stroking.